And we're back for another episode of the Wire Fantasy Football Podcast. Guys, what's going on?
Going on, Kyle. We're back. How you feeling? Another week?
Another week. A lot of people banged up. Welcome back, Tim, by the
way.
Thank
you.
Yeah, you did have a little hiatus.
Yeah. I had a 1 week hiatus. Yeah, very, very long hiatus.
Yeah, yeah.
Went to California. Had a funny story for you. And let's jump into the episode.
Yeah. It's the Wire.
It's the Wire.
D. Griffin. This the Wire, serving up a hot take. Around the league, serving gems like a hot plate. Who's the flex? First pick, rounds 4-8. Trading with the base, that's Superman, we need a cape. This that fantasy, see who get the glory. Who's gonna stay up in their lane talking Tory? Who gonna ride up on the train with a hype at? Yeah, you wanna start them, but matches, you might not like that. Three tutties next week, man, he's double covered. Takes on 100 coming out the oven. Tim and Todd, they the guys, know you gotta love them. Take your pick, do it quick, they on fire. The Wire.
All right, boys. So like we said, we're back for another episode. Tim's back. Kyle's back. We're ready. This week, we're going to give you a waiver wires. We're going to break down a little bit of bye week talk, a little bit going on there, some rookies. But Tim, you said you had a story you want to start us off with, so why don't we start there?
So being from Massachusetts, not a very ritzy-titsy part of Massachusetts, even though there aren't many, we don't see that many Teslas. And I went to California for a week, and I saw a lot of Teslas.
Wow, that's a great story.
Out of every five, out of every five Teslas,
it gets better. I promise.
Yeah, it does. This is the whole episode.
Oh,
that's not
the whole thing.
Out of every five cars, I saw three with Teslas.
Okay.
And in the 5 days I was there, two of them were on fire on the side of the highway.
That is nutty.
I mean, in my entire life, I think I've only seen one car on fire on the side of the highway.
Yeah.
And in 5 days, and probably three of them we were driving, I saw two Teslas on fire.
Was it like...
It was 75 degrees out.
Was it crazy hot and like everything was just overheating?
It was not 110 degrees. It was not anything crazy.
The battery didn't overheat.
On fire on the side of the road.
What you're telling me is I never want to buy a Tesla.
I don't know. They're pretty nice.
They might sponsor this episode. You never know.
Oh.
If you do, you're great. We'll delete this one episode, I promise.
But I'm just saying, you got to leave your options open.
It's either that or they're going to pay us to take it down. Whatever.
Yeah.
I'll take it at this point.
Either way.
Money's money. But yeah, so anyway, that's all I really had. It was a fun time. LA is the most disgusting city I have ever seen in my life.
Huh?
L.A. is the most disgusting city I've ever seen in my life.
You do realize where we live, right?
Yes.
At least we don't have people openly, like, shitting out in the streets.
Dude, they have encampments along the highway of just homeless people living. Like, the entire city of fucking L.A. It was disgusting. San Diego is beautiful. Huntington Beach is beautiful. L.A. is gross.
Really?
It is like the armpit of America.
The
I think
America.
It's like it, take like the bad parts of like Fitchburg and Worcester and like Woonsocket and just make it like a really, really big city.
Sure.
And that is LA.
And then you got Hollywood.
Pretty much. But Hollywood's nice. The middle of Los Angeles, disgusting. Gross.
Good to know. I will take
people
that
shitting
off
on the side of the road. Okay. Thousands and thousands of homeless people everywhere. Like, so every overpass is someone's home.
Okay.
That I believe.
Every overpass.
Oh, no, I believe it. They say
and
it's impossible
just trash
to live out
everywhere.
There.
They're taking down, like, campgrounds of homeless people with bulldozers. And you know what's crazy? You can't go to certain parks because they just turn into, like, homes for homeless people.
Holy
and then,
shit.
People are trying to get people out of those parks. And then there are also people saying, no, let them stay there so that they don't move into their neighborhoods. So there's like a movement.
Oh, that must be a political nightmare.
It is, because it's a movement to allow the homeless people to live
right
in the parks. And like, it's wild. LA is disgusting.
All right. Well, we'll take that off the bucket list. We can skip that one.
I mean, I'll go to the Staples Center and watch a Lakers game, something like that, or a Clippers game, but I
we'll hit LA quick and
we'll hit Hollywood quick
and then we'll just move on.
Yeah, like a quick drive by kind of thing.
San Diego. The first train out. But all right, let's jump into some fantasy football. The whole reason why everybody is listening to us and they don't want to hear me talk about my trip to LA. Tim Patrick is fantastic. I listened to the episode that I wasn't on. Kyle, I'm sorry. You need to learn to love Tim Patrick the way that we all do.
But listen, what I said in the group chat,
that's fine,
was spot on.
Okay, that's fine. But
he punched in.
But what did he do that Mike Evans didn't do this week?
Understandable.
Producing fantasy football.
Understandable. What does Mike Evans do every couple weeks that Tim Patrick has never done in his life?
What? Do 6 straight weeks of double digits? I don't think Evans has done that in a long time, right?
What's his high point total? Like, of his career?
I think it's like 24.7 or something like that, but...
I'd have to go back and vet it. But yeah, either way...
But he had a couple 20-point weeks last week, but, I mean... I'm not comparing Tim Patrick to Mike Evans. Please don't actually hold me to that. But my point is, Tim Patrick is just consistently putting up double-digit points. And he's one of those guys where if you didn't draft well at the wide receiver position, you went running back heavy, and you need somebody to fill in the wide receiver 3 spot or a flex spot in bye weeks or something like that, he is absolutely somebody to own. Teddy Bridgewater is pretty good, and it's either him, Sutton, or Fant, or else they're not throwing the ball.
No, absolutely.
And he's distributing the ball well, too. What's not?
To those 3.
Yes.
Yeah, granted, most of the production yesterday was pretty much all in garbage time.
Garbage time.
Points still count, absolutely.
For fantasy purposes, we love garbage time.
Listen, I enjoyed
it. All of Tim Patrick's points came on the first drive. All 3 of his catches, the 42 yards and a touchdown, all the first drive. Kyle, you were right. I'm not going to take it away from you.
Punch in, punch out, you know?
But he got his 13 points, and he tapped out for the day, and we got what we needed out of him.
He had somewhere to be. He said, you know what? I got to head out, and that's it.
He did his thing and made room for
Sutton. And then it was the Fant show in the second half.
Yeah.
But Tim Patrick, he's wonderful. Love him. I have him in as many leagues as I possibly can. I'm still trying to acquire him everywhere else.
Good thing.
Tyler's still pounding him from last week.
Yeah, I heard you were pounding him.
I'm pounding him all the rest of the way.
All right.
All the way.
2-2.
2-2.
So I know we've talked on Christian Kirk and AJ Green in the past.
At this point, guys, they're just guys we need to own everywhere.
Yeah, but
they're both extreme. It doesn't matter.
If they're both there and you have one roster spot to fill, who are you adding?
Probably Green. Green's probably got the higher ceiling.
Kyle?
He feels a little safer. I'd go Green.
I'm going Kirk. Because if I'm relying on one of these two guys, I'm relying on a ceiling. And I think Kirk has a higher ceiling because his ability to do what he did this week, get a 75-yard touchdown.
But at the same time, Green had a 40-yard touchdown. Like,
yeah, but we're seeing Kirk's lines this year so far are 24, 9.5, 17.5, 10, 1.5, and 18.5.
And Green has gone 4.5, 13.4, 16.2, 17.7, 2.3, and 18.9.
So Kirk's been better.
They're pretty much the same.
But
what's his fantasy total at the end of the year? Like, right now, Green's put up 73 points total on the year, where Kirk has put up 80. So there's a 7-point difference between them right now.
Yeah, and I think Kirk is a little bit more explosive because Green just isn't the player he used to be. That's kind of my reasoning. I don't want to spend too much time on them. We've talked on them a couple weeks so far.
Neither one of them are bad options.
They're not bad, no, but if you were to ask me who I prefer, it's going to be Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
So he's an interesting player for me at this point because, as we know, it's Hockenson or bust pretty much in there. The last 3 weeks, we have seen Mr. Brown here get at least 7 targets. He hasn't done a ton with them, especially this week. He went 5-for-23 and he had a 2-point conversion, which wasn't a great fantasy day as that goes. But those 7 targets are something that I'm paying attention to because somebody's got to catch the ball there.
Did you see what Dan Campbell had to say about Mr. Goff at the end of the post-game presser?
I did not.
So he was talking about Goff's performance. I think he was asked about Goff's performance, and he started to talk about Jared Goff, and he had a long pause, and it felt like he had an awkwardly long pause. For an already awkward man, it was an awkward pause, and basically came along the lines of Goff isn't doing enough. Like, he needs to step up. So I don't know if that was to try and like kick Goff in the ass and be like, listen, you know, we're in these games. We need to, you know, make some plays at the end of the game to change the outcome or what have you. But maybe that's the boost that Goff needs. And
he was picking him up on the sidelines last week. I mean, this is one of those emotional overreactions to me by Dan Campbell. Last week, he legitimately picked up Goff on the sidelines in his arms and like held him like a child that won the Super Bowl when they got that 2-point conversion to take the lead.
Right.
Like, I mean, you know, what are we doing here? But as far as Goff's not great.
He has the talent nothing around him. Is horrible.
They have some pieces. Their offensive line is trash. Their defense sucks.
Amon-Ra's last man standing. Pretty much right now.
Yeah, Tyrell's going to be back. You have Hawkinson, you have Swift, you have Williams. Like, there's some pieces there. Cephas is down. Like,
but they're not great pieces. Outside of Swift and Hawkinson, after that, it's just a bunch of dudes at this point.
Yeah. You know, Jamal is...
As
a backup running back, he's very good. You know, but again, it's dropping off from Swift to Williams. They have a good running back room. They have no running backs. I mean, wide receivers. And a really bad offensive line in a bad game script in a tough division.
Sure.
Amon-Ra is interesting. Goff said that they need to get him more involved.
Right.
He wants to throw him the ball more, is what he said before the game.
So here's the real question. Are they eating breakfast together yet?
No, that's the issue.
Probably not. That's the problem.
But here's the thing. I don't think Goff's a breakfast kind of guy. He's more of like a scone eater. So I don't think you could really... Like, when you go somewhere, get a scone and leave, there's not enough... You can't get the rapport.
Time to build that, yeah.
You can't get the rapport.
So they got to do dinner.
Stafford is like an omelet with like home fries and like a side of bacon. He seems like a crunchy bacon kind of guy.
You know what the real question is? Does Goff have kids?
I don't know.
That would be why. If he doesn't eat breakfast, I guarantee it's because he doesn't have kids.
I think he's a scone guy. I think they go down and get scones together and then leave right away. So they don't really get the time to build a relationship.
It's a grab and go situation.
It's a grab and go, exactly. Like, you know, like almost like those little muffins you get when you the Continental breakfast. That's the kind of guy Goff is.
I thought you were gonna say name muffins. I gotta be honest.
He's a Continental breakfast kind of guy. But no, I like Amon-Ra as a talent. I think he's gonna be a player. His ceiling for me is like not even Emmanuel Sanders.
He's a flex right now. He's
like as a prospect, he's like almost like an Emmanuel Sanders is now. Like, I don't really have a high ceiling for him.
Yeah, even that, I don't know.
No, like now, like not like Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, but even that, I think it might be a little too much.
Exactly, but you know, he's an interesting prospect. I don't think he'll ever be top end. That's the thing.
No, never. But he's worth monitoring right now. If you need a flex play, something like that, the volume is gonna be there.
Good enough.
Gibson goes down. It's unknown right now as we're recording what the issue is. He's going for an MRI.
We know he's been battling with the shin. I think Kyle said you saw a calf. I haven't seen the calf come up, but you said you saw a calf.
Yeah, he came off the end of the game with a calf injury. Supposedly it wasn't related to the shin, but that did come up. I think that was at the end part of the game. So, I'm a little worried, but JD McKissick is here to... He was always here to leech all the touches away from Gibson and be that little touchdown goblin and pass catching goblin, but he's healthy and he's probably gonna get some touches.
He's a more athletic James White. He's not there as a runner, but his ability to be a mismatch out of the backfield is the thing with McKissick.
Yeah, so I
linebackers can't guard him.
So I think with McKissick going down, I think we're gonna see a very solid role out of McKissick going down. With Gibson going down, I think we're going to see a very solid role out of McKissick where he's going to get, like we saw last year, very solid target share in the passing game. I do think there's an opportunity for Jarrett Patterson to come in and get a lot of the running touches at that point, be the first and second down kind of guy, get some goal line work, where he might be an interesting stash if you're looking for it. Obviously, we've seen tons of running backs go down, so he's somebody that I'm monitoring right now. He might be worth a late pickup in that sense.
I mean, yeah, sure, he may get like 8 carries.
No, I think you could see anywhere from 10 to 15 out of him and get the goal line work.
So, I've never really followed too much of Patterson's size and abilities. I didn't really scout him much out of college. I didn't think he was really anything special. I mean, you know, 1 rush, 5 yards, and 1 catch for negative 2 yards in a game where Gibson plays like, what, 25% of the snaps? It's going to be the McKissick show. They're gonna use the passing game as the running game, kind of the way the Pittsburgh Steelers did last year,
mm-hmm.
where it's gonna be a lot of dump offs and screens and quick things to tight ends and wide receivers, jet sweeps.
No, I think,
all these different things.
I think there's definitely an avenue for that, but I think at some point you're gonna have to run the ball. They can't just do that, and I think Patterson comes in. He's gonna get
That's why I think it's gonna be around 8 carries a game, where they line up
they got to run the ball more than 8 times.
For him, it's going to be about 8. McKissick's going to get 6 or 7. And it's going to be about 8 to 10 targets a game for him, I really do think.
Yeah, I liked Patterson. He had a pretty good preseason. Good college career at Buffalo. He was one of those up-and-coming guys that was very underrated, small school guy, but performed very well. So I think he ends up getting a little bit more of the rushing role than McKissick does, but of course McKissick's always been on the field, so he's always going to have his normal role anyway. I'm not sure how much it's really going to expand beyond that, but Patterson was getting on the field for special teams, which is big for coaches. Once you start kind of getting on the field, then you can expand your role as those opportunities come up. So yeah, I could see Patterson being a worthwhile stash. We're hurting for running backs as it is, so anybody that's available, you need to grab him. Khalil Herbert had a great game this past week, and that's your third string running back normally. You got to grab your running backs where you can.
You know who we're missing talking about? A wide receiver who can run the ball, who proved he can be a goal line runner, who can get 10 or 15 carries a game and stand up. Curtis Samuel.
He's still hurting with the groin.
Yeah, but he's expected to be back this week.
Is he?
And if Gibson misses 2 or 3 weeks, if Samuel can come... Samuel can come in and get 7 or 8 carries. He's proved that he can do it in Carolina. It's almost the same offense.
But will they plan on using him, though?
They plan on having Gibson. Now everything's up in the air. What are they going to do? If he's available, I do think he gets carries.
And even that, I'm not even sure, because the last update we got on Samuel was that they were contemplating putting him on IR.
That was, what, 2 weeks ago?
3 days ago.
3 days ago.
Yeah, that's tough, and that was one that kind of hurt me too, because I had taken him in a redraft league, and he'd never seemed to get fully healthy from that groin injury. I think he was active for 1 game, if I remember correctly, or two games, and in that second game, it must have been he heard it running. So it's one of those things where I feel like the groin injury just never fully went away. So, I mean, I don't know if it's something that he's going to need surgery for or what, but just it sucks, because obviously he got paid to go there. So I'm sure they had plans of using him, but it just hasn't panned out for him this year.
Yeah. So that'll be a backfield that's worth monitoring. We got to see what's going on with Gibson first. None of this could even be relevant if he's active still. So just something to pay attention to at this point.
If Gibson is active, they're going to scale him back a little bit.
Probably.
A little bit, using like McKissick and Samuel if he becomes active. Patterson may get 3 or 5 carries a game. Kind of, it's a long season and they hope to win their division, right? So it's one of those things where I think that they're going to be like, you know, listen, this is our 23-year-old franchise running back. We need to be smarter. You know, this whole CMC light thing, look what's happening to CMC heavy.
And they have, that whole CMC light thing was just nonsense. They haven't even remotely used that.
No, but you got to be smart with these guys, especially these pass-catching backs who are getting a lot of carries. But let's jump into T.Y. Hilton. 4 for 4, 4 catches, 4 targets, 80 yards.
This is kind of why we kept saying he's worth the stash.
He is worth the stash.
He's going to come in and he's going to have a role, and he's T.Y. He's older at this point, but he's still going to be probably the best pass catcher on that team still. So T.Y., if he's there, he's definitely worth an ad. Came up with a little bit of a quad, something worth monitoring, but it looks like he's going to be fine.
And Wentz is better than...
Wentz is playing very well right now.
He's playing very well. And on a good team with a good O-line and a good defense, I think they're going to turn it around.
I just want to know what T.Y. has against Houston. It's like the last two years. No,
everybody
years.
In that division. Look. There's everybody in that division has a nemesis. Look what Derrick Henry has done to Jacksonville over the years.
Yeah.
Look, T.Y. has destroyed the Houston Texans for some reason. Like, there's always that, you know, Phillip Rivers always played well against Tennessee. It's always one of those, everybody in that division had somebody to fuck with. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know if Houston, like, owes him money or what the situation is.
He had a bad stay at a hotel.
Yeah, it must have been. You know, he said, fuck the Yelp review. I'm just going to own your ass every time we play you two times a year. But, yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the injury. But, yeah, I mean, he came out and he had quite a showcase a little bit for, you know, his game.
Jamal Agnew, back-to-back double-digit weeks. He had 5 catches, 78 yards, and he's a very explosive athlete. He's he was a corner when he came into the NFL, then he became a return specialist, then he was a wide receiver, a running back, and he's a gadget guy. I'm monitoring it. He's not adding him.
No, he's just somebody that's worth paying attention to at this point. We got a couple guys on the list like that. But
like if Chenault misses a couple weeks,
then there's a conversation, yeah.
Then they're going to use him as a gadget player even more. But you have anything on Agnew?
No, I think you guys pretty much hit it on the head. It's something that's worth looking at. It's interesting to see him get the level of targets that he's getting. It was between him and Tavon Austin for all of a sudden just started getting a bunch of targets. Thankfully, Marvin Jones has finally started to get targets this week. But
best friend.
Yeah, I mean, he deserves that. Now with Chark being out for the whole year, you should look to Marvin Jones and Chenault. And for whatever reason, Tavon Austin and Agnew started getting targets. But it's worth monitoring at least.
Yeah. Rashad Bateman. Kyle, go ahead.
It's my guy.
Just go.
No, this is one of those things where, you know, if you didn't have him already, you could have stashed him, or, you know, if he was worth a stash on your IR spot, if you had one, if you had a short bench or anything like that, then you kind of just let him sit in waivers. But I find it very interesting that the team had decided to kind of ease him into the offense, which makes sense. I mean, it's a rookie. Obviously, he had been on IR up to this point, so he was kind of a little bit behind the eight ball. But on your first game, you get 22% or 24% of the team target share. They've basically, I don't want to say completely decided to abandon the run game, but Lamar has developed as a passer a lot this year. So they're kind of throwing the ball around a little bit more than what they're used to doing. This is why they drafted him in the first round, from the ball out. So I'm very curious to see how this pans out and how he develops this year, because he could be a big difference maker for that offense.
I traded him for the Rams defense in redraft, and I don't regret it at all. I picked him up on waivers. I held him for a week. And then when he said he was going to be active, I took him in the Bears defense and traded it for the Rams defense. They have a sweet schedule coming up.
They do.
Of like Houston and all the shit bum teams, and they're going to have like 15 points a week. So I attacked that while I could. But I don't know. It's a wait and see.
He's more of a stash for me too. I agree with Tim here. I very much disagree that the Ravens are abandoning the run. They, outside of Lamar, they rushed the ball 26 times. It's just split up between three different players.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. It's like they've necessarily abandoned the run, but the passing game has developed much more than it has in recent memory.
Yes, Lamar's throwing the ball much better than he has in the past. It's definitely one of those that it's interesting because he's on a ridiculous projection right now and a ridiculous rate. And if he can keep this up, there's going to be a lot of good production coming out of there. But we really think that Lamar's going to keep throwing the ball at this rate, probably on pace for 5,000 yards.
I honestly think I can see him getting 4 or 5 targets a game, though. You know,
yeah, 4 or 5 targets
Andrews
a game.
Andrews is
going
to have 6 to 10 a game, and
yeah.
Hollywood's going to have 5 or 6. You know, Duvernay's going to get 1 or 2. There's going to be a bunch of people sprinkled in with 1. You know, like he threw the ball 27 times.
The thing that's interesting
and Bateman got 6 targets. It's just none of them were downfield.
In a blowout, which the Ravens had
against the worst run defense in football.
Yeah. And the Ravens had pretty much complete control of that game from the jump. Obviously, we've seen in recent weeks, Ravens be down, have to play hero ball catch up. So I don't expect the Ravens to be dominant like they were against the Chargers yesterday, you know, throughout the balance of the season.
Here's my thing with Bateman, and this is why I'm a little hesitant on him still. Yes, he came in, had a great target share. Yes, he didn't really do much with it. But we also didn't see Watkins in this game either. Watkins was not active. And I think he's the one that he's going to battle for playing time and targets the most.
That's the one I always saw him battling with, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's one of those we have to wait to see what happens when Watkins comes back, because he very well could cut into Bateman's snap share and targets by a lot. Because I think Watkins is probably the better player to play at this point, considering he missed all of camp.
More win-now player.
Yeah, like he missed all of, he's probably much more ready to play at this point than Bateman. So I think that this target share is kind of inflated, right now.
They might have thrown it all. Oh, I'm sorry, I just saw him break his leg on TV. Yeah, that's bad. Jesus, oh, God. Yeah, I mean, Bateman's going to lose some to Watkins. He's not as big as Watkins is. You know, they're using Watkins as like their physical receiver. But it's going to be interesting. I think they kind of force fed him to get him in. I do agree with Tyler, him missing a lot of camp does hurt him, especially as a rookie wide receiver. But let's jump into Patty Freiermuth, the Penn State alumni.
The Muth.
Yes. 7 targets, 7 catches, 58 yards. No Juju meant they're going to get the some physical receivers in the middle a little bit more, using the tight ends, Ebron and
yeah, I think we'll see better days out of him, but he's not somebody that I'm running out and going to add yet. This has been his best week with 7 for 58. Before this, his next best week was 4 targets, 4 catches for 36 yards. So he hasn't been productive. This has really been an outlier week for this. I want to see a couple weeks.
But he's trending up.
He is trending up.
When bye weeks are coming, injuries are coming.
He's worth paying attention to. He is on a bye next week. So again, he's not somebody I'm adding this, but yeah, worth paying attention to. Yes.
And this is one of the things that I think is a little bit interesting. And this is what I was talking about in the group chat, where we're getting closer and closer to that midpoint of the season. And last year, if you remember, some rookies started to really take off and kind of settle in, you know, get their rookie jitters out of the way, settle into their offenses. And really, you got to see their talent kind of flourish. Jonathan Taylor comes to mind. J.K. Dobbins comes to mind. Just some guys that, you know, we saw the opportunity and we saw the talent prior to them actually playing games. Mm-hmm. And it just became a matter of time before their situations come to the forefront. Freiermuth was one of those guys for me that if Kyle Pitts wasn't in this class,
the tight end one,
and a very solid tight end at that, very more traditional but refined tight end as far
like
as
an Austin Hooper.
Yeah. And it's something that, and I think he actually got compared to Heath Miller on the broadcast. I think it's a very good comparison, especially in that Steelers offense, where you're going to have Juju probably walk after this year. You know, he banked on himself and it didn't really work out for him, unfortunately. But
they got to stop.
Yeah, players got to stop doing that, but that's the risk you take. And Ebron will be gone next year too. But I think
so will Ben.
Yeah, and to me, that just means you have a young quarterback, so he's going to rely on Deontay and his tight end.
Yeah, for Dynasty, he's much more appealing, but for Redraft, he's not anybody I'm running out and getting
right now. I'm monitoring it. He's one of these guys. I'm monitoring him more than a lot of other guys, but who I'm really targeting, who I'm adding, Ricky Seals-Jones.
That's fair.
I'm adding him, and I'm okay with starting him as a streaming tight end. In Redraft, I am in Dynasty. I'm picking him up and I'm stashing him, especially in tight end premium leagues.
I mean, I don't even know if he's really even a stream at this point. In the last 2 weeks, he's had 9 and 6 targets, 41 yards, 58 yards, and he had a touchdown this week. So he's putting up solid tight end
with
two.
With a low-end quarterback, yep. Taylor Heinicke, who who likes his tight ends, likes the seams, really, the middle of the field.
This is a team outside of McLaurin that doesn't have a lot of pass catchers.
Yeah, and this is one of those offenses that's kind of anti everything that makes sense in the terms of running back to tight end target share. Like, typically when you have a running back that gets 10 targets, your tight end gets nothing, right? Mm. Not in this offense. Logan Thomas had, what, like 100 and something targets last year?
Yeah, it was something stupid.
And a lot of them came from either him or Alex Smith. And I think it's going to be... Ricky Seals-Jones is going to get 5 to 7 targets until Logan Thomas comes back. I really do think so. He's somebody I'm adding right now, and I'm stashing until... you know, my bye week next week or something like that, or if something happens to one of my tight ends. I'm all in on Ricky Seals-Jones. I'm using waiver claims on him. I'm spending 15 to 20% of my fab on him right now. He's somebody I'm definitely targeting and adding.
Yeah, no, especially,
I won't argue there.
Yeah, especially in, I mean, we say it pretty much every year, but a tight end landscape that is very barren. It's one of those, you got to pick a guy and see where he ends up. And Seals-Jones is showing some kind of promise. Yeah, he's definitely worth an ad for me, I think.
I'm going to fly through a couple of these other ones. With Hunt going down, Chubb, who knows? We have Dearness Johnson and Felton. I'm staying away from both of them. I don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah, I agree. I'm staying away from them. I have a feeling that that Chubb plays this week anyway. I think he was closer to play this week just past. And he obviously got benched, the injury. But I think it was more of let's save him. They got a short week this week, so we'll find out Thursday more about him. I mean Wednesday more about him before the game Thursday. But I got a feeling Chubb plays. I'm not touching either one of these guys.
Yeah, for me, when I added these guys, it's really only along the lines of if Chubb doesn't play. I think that you'll probably end up getting some more touches with Felton just because they still don't really use Chubb in the passing game. That's what they were using Hunt for. I don't know if they really end up giving Chubb more passing work, but if Chubb goes down, to me, these guys are absolutely in play. If you're down running backs, all you're looking for is guys with opportunity at this point. If Chubb's down, these guys have opportunity.
If Chubb doesn't play, Dearness Johnson's got to add, but I'm not wasting a number one waiver claim on either of them.
We got burned on that last year.
Don't say we.
But the fantasy community football community, not me. Got burned on.
Didn't even put even a waiver claim in for him. Then we have with Alex Collins kind of questionable up in the air with his hip and glute injury.
Even this backfield, I'm staying away from. I have no idea what to do with it.
If Penny becomes active, he could be interesting because when he has been active, he has been good. But the issue is he's never active. Travis Homer is just a jag. And then DJ Jalas,
we don't.
Yeah,
he got some passing work though.
Yeah. They
I don't know what to do with this backfield. Like it's
with Geno Smith at quarterback. I don't want the running backs.
It's free checkdowns.
No, I mean I'm scared about Lockett. Never mind. But yeah, I'm staying away from this backfield as well. I don't even because all three are active. Who's the lead guy? We don't even know. We have no idea. So I'm staying away from it. Because if I'm picking somebody up, it's a reason I'm going to have to start them, right? At one point. And I don't know who to even add, never mind who to start. I'm out. I'm good.
Agreed.
Marquez Callaway, he's on a bye this week, owned in 34% of leagues. Michael Thomas is expected to be out until probably week 9.
I'm guessing week 8 for Tampa because I think they're going to need that game if they want to actually make a playoff push. But. They're saying it could be week 9.
But even it takes the attention away from him. Right now, it's him and Deontay Harris. When Michael Thomas comes back, teams are going to be worried about him, and he might open the field up more for Callaway.
Yeah, because, I mean, Callaway's not a true number one.
No, he's an okay receiver, but right now he's their best receiver, right?
Right. And, I mean, it's been all over the board with him lately.
I appreciate Kyle cutting him in one league that I got to add him in, but... he's gotten three consecutive double digit weeks.
He has not. That's a lie.
Was it 2 and then a bye? I'm sorry.
He had 1, then went 9, and then went 24.
Oh, okay. I thought
14.
Oh,
9,
you know
24.
What it is. I have looked in a league that has points per first down, and that's why. Sorry, but yeah.
It's tough.
I'm adding him. 34% is low.
He's definitely worth the stash. And I mean, there's still a world that Thomas doesn't come back at all. So he very well could be the wide receiver one for the rest of the year. We don't know. But he's definitely worth paying attention to. If you have a spot, definitely worth an add. I agree there.
Yeah. For me, it's tough because Jameis Winston has been so up and down as far as his passing volume and just quarterback play in general. Right. And that's the thing. And obviously, playing wide receiver, you need some kind of volume if you're going to be viable. And that's why you see those 24, 9, 12,
his target
all over the place.
I'm going to be honest with you. He's gone 2, 4, 5, 2, 8 on targets.
Yeah,
and for somebody who I thought...
The passing work just isn't there because he's thrown like 19 times a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for somebody who really showed out in the preseason, he fooled my ass, that's for sure. Yeah, he's just not getting the target.
I was out on him to start, and both of you just like said, screw it. And when his value went down, I'm like, ooh, it's perfect. I want him now.
I mean, he's been a hold for me. I got him late in drafts. It was free money at that point. So,
Ramondre Stevenson. He's an ad for me. He's somebody I'm not wasting a waiver claim on. I'm not wasting much fab on. But if he's available and you have an open roster spot, or if you own Damian Harris, add him. Because
he's more of a handcuff to me at this point.
He's getting work.
Yeah.
He's getting work.
He's going to get some touches. I agree. But I don't know how much of it's going to be substantial. I mean, again, this is New England's backfield, so we didn't see much of Bolden this week, but last week we saw Bolden get a bunch of touches and a bunch of catches. So it's he's not a guy that I'm adding and trusting. The only guy I really want here is Harris, but
who's been banged up for what it's worth.
Yeah.
Every three plays he's limping off the field.
I mean, he runs violent, so it doesn't really surprise me, but he's not a guy that I'm touching. But if you have Harris, he's worth a stash just as a handcuff.
Yeah.
It was encouraging to at least see that he was able to get back on the field, Ramondre, even though he let Mac Jones get blasted. He blew pass protection, and then he came off the field, and then right back on the field. Yeah, but how many times have we seen, all right, Bill, you're out of the game.
We don't have the depth to do it at this point. That's the problem.
Hey. Yeah, Rex isn't here anymore.
Who would have thought Brandon Bolden would be catching passes?
I don't want to hear his name on the podcast ever again. I hate Brandon Bolden. Not doing it.
Listen,
I will walk out like you did that episode. Michael Carter. I'm done with Stevenson. Fuck it. Michael Carter. Michael Carter is somebody you have to add if he's available in your league. There's too many running backs going down.
We've said this 100 times at this point.
The lead back. I don't care if it's a Jets. I don't care if he's only getting 13 touches a game. I don't care. Adam, you have to. Because he's a lead back who will get you 8 to 12 points. In a bye week, in an injury situation, whatever it is, you have to add him if he's available. I don't understand how he's available in 51% of leagues.
Because he's not putting up anything fancy, but he's going to give you solid RB3 week. And that's perfectly fine by me. And we've been harping on him. He's like another Tim Patrick. We've been harping on him for weeks now. People just aren't listening.
Khalil Herbert is owned in 75% of leagues.
Yep.
But Michael Carter's owned in 51. It might be a little inflated.
Sense.
Yeah.
It might be a little inflated because he was on a bye this week and people cut him for somebody to start. But still, you got to add him back if he's available, Adam.
And this, I think, is just a kind of a general tip for anybody who hasn't thought of it or been through it. But now that bye weeks are starting to hit, you really want to pay attention to who's on those waivers because people start to drop players who are on bye to add on other players. They're desperate at positions, need a win. You make tough decisions at that point. So,
oh yeah, number one defenses, kickers, tight end, you know, not tight ends, but like, you know, they drop their starting quarterback. They drop an RB3.
There's definitely
the spots to add it. This is where you can kind of add some depth because other people are making bad decisions in your league.
Absolutely.
But yeah, Michael Carter's definitely worth an add for sure. The snap count keeps going up and up. He's in the right direction. Again, it's another rookie that is going to get more and more comfortable in the offense, and hopefully Zach Wilson just continues to develop as a quarterback, leading to more scoring opportunities, and I'm with adding Michael Carter for sure.
We talked on Kirk. Last one, Kendrick Bourne. He sucks, but he's better than Nelson Aguilar. That's all I got. He's been good. One big catch this week, but he's had some games with a lot of volume. He's an average NFL receiver. He was a nice ad free agent wise for the Pats because You know, he's one of those guys, he adds a little bit of talent, somebody who can actually catch a football. And then once you add a true number one and he's like your wide receiver four, then you're pretty good, right? But when he's your wide receiver two, you suck. That's really what it comes down to. Owning 2% of leagues for a reason. That's it.
I kind of wish he could have donated his touchdown to Jacoby Myers, though. I feel so bad for him.
Yeah, he's getting his. Yeah, he'll get it eventually.
He's not athletic enough to do it. That's his profile. He has no athletic profile.
I mean, he's getting like anywhere from like 6 to 10 targets a game right now with Myers. So I would say he's getting all the work he possibly can handle.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh. But he's just not athletic enough to take the top off of defense. He's not.
No.
He's more of a product of the offense and the volume than he is his own game.
It was just tough to see.
Always been the thing with Myers.
It was tough to. I thought, you know, he had his touchdown. I got excited for him. I was happy for him. And then you see that little flag marker come up in the bottom of his screen.
He still brought the ball home.
Did he really?
He
walked up the field. They like lined up in the huddle. They took him out of the game, and he's still running off the field with the ball in his hands. Listen. I'm like, what are you doing, dude? The touchdown doesn't count.
he don't know when he's going to get in there again.
Wishful thinking.
But yeah. All right. So the topic we have this week, we have...
Kyle's kind of been hinting at it for the last couple minutes here.
Go ahead. Kyle, you can lead us in.
No, it's like I said before. Now's the time we start seeing rookies really get comfortable in their offenses. You know, we project certain situations in the offseason to kind of shake out. Rashad Bateman, for an example, you know, you figure...
So this is the Rashad Bateman.
No. I'm just using that as an example because, I mean, I could talk about Najee Harris, too. He's like the RB3 or something like that right now.
In the running back room and catches.
That's it. So it all counts in fantasy world. But, yeah, this is that kind of time of year where rookies start to get a little bit more acclimated in their offenses.
Or activated off the IR.
Activated off IR, like, you know, it's their time to shine kind of thing. And this, for me, is when you start to really call your shot on certain players and maybe try and get ahead of certain players and make those ads like those Michael Carters, like Rashad Batemans of the world. But
yeah, nobody's going to be Justin Jefferson this year. We're not saying that.
Chase is right there on pace with him right now.
For what?
What he did in the first five?
Probably for yardage.
Yeah.
Didn't Jefferson have like 1,500 yards last year?
He did have a ridiculous amount of yards. But Chase is...
I saw a stat today. It was like in the first five games or six games, whatever it was.
Oh, because Jefferson didn't exist in the offense until week four.
That's not true.
It took a couple weeks for him.
I think it was week two, but...
Because I cut him week three.
Either way, how are we feeling about the incoming rookies so far?
So, I think we got to bring this whole conversation full circle here.
The first 5 weeks of the year, he only had two games where he had more than 7 points.
Okay.
Yeah, just saying.
What did he have for yardage?
26, 44, 23, 103, 175.
I'd have to go back and look at what that stat was then, because I thought that's what it was, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, could, because Chase is more a touchdown machine than anything right now.
No, Chase has had monster games already.
Yeah, but he's had a lot of touchdowns too. But
Chase
anyway.
Has had almost 500 yards already.
Yeah. Anyway, he was saying.
So, to bring this whole conversation full circle, I think this is something that we have to kind of put together here. Yes, what Kyle's saying with paying attention to rookies is important, but at the same time, you got to look at it as with bye weeks coming on, these are going to be players that people that aren't super paying attention to and aren't doing their research before the season are probably going to miss. The Michael Carters of the world, like Kyle's saying, that people that, oh, he's not putting up a lot of points and we don't really understand why.
Never heard his name before.
Right. And these are guys that you're going to be able to grab and you're going to be able to stash or you're going to be able to find on the waiver wire, like a Bateman, like a Carter, Freiermuth, all these guys that you can come in, grab, and they're going to be great bye week plays. And this is kind of that year, as bye week starting right now, you got to start looking at bye weeks. What weeks, who's coming on, who's coming off. And again, like we're saying, these guys are going to be great options. You got Fields coming on at the quarterback room. Mac looks okay. And these are going to be guys that you're going to be able to plug in and get solid weeks out of. And that's kind of the real preface of, I think, of this episode, if I'm correct. But it's something that you got to pay attention to because, again, bye weeks are pain in the ass. Bye weeks suck.
This week's really going to suck.
Week 7's the worst
week. Oh, this is by far the worst week.
Yeah.
This is everybody that's fantasy relevant. I'm going 10-1 in my 11 leagues this week. next week, I'm probably going to lose like 8 of them.
Yeah, it's really tough.
I have so many players on bye week next week. It's unreal.
It's what?
Like, I'm 6-0 in one league. And I'm playing against Eric, and it's a 2-man race in that league because it's just me, him, and then everybody else is like under 500. And then I have like 7 players on a bye.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's what? The Cowboys, Chargers, Jags. Who am I missing?
I'd have to dig in and look. But it is quite a bit. There's a lot of very valuable teams.
Pittsburgh, Jacksonville.
Pittsburgh.
Buffalo.
Buffalo.
Dallas. It's a lot. It's too much. I'm stressed out thinking about it.
Change schedules, NFL. Jesus.
No, you know what?
No, we get it out of the way early.
I'm happy because I'm going to lose one game. And I don't have to worry about 2 guys here and then my other 2 guys here. Everybody's week 7. Just like when we used to play against... in the league where the guy had all the players on one team, and yep. You knew his entire team had a bye week 1 week.
So, to bring this back to full circle and get back into what Kyle was saying,
I don't like going full circle. Let's just go random thoughts again.
Yeah, we're all over the place.
Kyle's
right
a
now.
Big
this
circle
is,
guy.
This is a mess right now. We're all over the
circle
place.
Of trust.
I don't want to be in the circle of trust anymore. But
you aren't.
Jeez.
There you go. There you go. What you wish for.
But so the rookies. Do we want to? So there's a couple guys. Let's just run through positions, I guess. That's probably the easiest way to do this. No? You give me right. A face.
No.
Okay. So let's start quarterback. We've got Lance, who's hurt right now. Fields, who's playing. Mack, who's playing.
Fields.
And Wilson. Give me your thoughts on all these guys. Do we think that they're going to be fantasy viable the rest of the season?
Quarterback's tough. I don't really want to spend too much time on quarterback. The
quick,
reason
quick,
why...
quick. All of these we're going to do quick.
Yeah, the reason why is because, I mean... there's 32 quarterbacks, usually 10 or 12 people in your league. Usually these rookie quarterbacks stay on the waiver wire in one quarterback leagues. Wilson isn't really rosterable at this point. Fields isn't really rosterable at this point in one QB leagues. Lance is interesting because of his rushing upside, but they haven't even said if he's going to be a starter when Jimmy's active. Lawrence is the number one, and then Mac is number two. Everybody else I'm staying away from. Davis Mills, blech.
No, I couldn't agree more. These guys, most of these I'm not touching. I think there's going to be better options, especially redraft-wise. You can grab a Tannehill that's probably got cut at this point. Stafford might be there. Like
Stafford is not. If Stafford's there, you're in the wrong league. No, you're in the right league. Add Stafford.
But there's definitely leagues that he's available. I would guarantee it. Just players like that you can probably go out and snatch are probably going to be better than these guys. I'm grabbing any of them right now, but they're definitely worth paying attention to. Fields is going to have that rushing upside. Max going to be, if you get a league that you're going to be looking for completions, Max been very efficient. They're worth paying attention to, I guess. But let's jump into the next group. Running backs.
Yep. Najee's Najee. We're all done with that. Javonte, if he's available, Adam, if you can get him in a trade, Adam, he's kind of in that Michael Carter category right now.
So here's a good question for you. Production. We've kind of touched on Carter. Who would you rather have right now in redraft, Carter or Javonte?
Javonte for me.
If they're both free, Javonte.
Really?
Yeah. He's the better player and a better offense.
But he's getting ultra touches.
But they're getting the same amount of touches.
Right, and they're both getting 10 touches a game.
Yeah, so I'm getting the better player and a better offense.
Okay.
Because if Michael Carter is getting 17 touches and Javonte is getting 8, yeah, Michael Carter.
But that's what it is.
No, if they're getting about the same touches. Well, no. Michael Carter is not getting 17, 18.
Carter's getting 15 touches a game right now.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, with Javonte, it just feels very much like a J.K. Dobbins situation from last year, and where the takeover is eventually going to happen. And the thing with me with Javonte is, pretty much every game, I feel like there's a certain highlight play that just makes him pop, and it makes him like, yeah, this guy's special.
I agree with you. I think he's going to be special.
They get the same amount of target. They both get 13, 14 touches a game.
Absolutely.
They're both getting 3 targets a game the last 3 weeks. And Javonte said 3 less carries over the last 3 weeks.
Okay. I don't know. I would probably lean Carter right now. Long term, Javonte by far. I agree with you there, but week to week right now, I would rather go Carter. If there's goal line touches, Carter's going to be guaranteed to get the goal line touches.
It's either because Ty Johnson just got
he's getting
goal line, touch last week. And he's the one that got the touchdown.
And so did Carter. Carter had a touchdown last week too.
Yeah.
The one advantage I would give Carter is now he's past his bye week where Javonte's going to have to deal with his. So in that case, it's maybe worthwhile. It's one less thing you have to worry about.
For me, it's one of those things that I just, there's no real competition at this point for Carter. I know you're saying that you think Javonte's going to take over, but Gordon's playing
he's
just...
He's not going to. They're equal players right now. Javonte's just 21.
Right.
He's the sexy new toy is really what it is.
And that's what I think. And I think Gordon's playing well enough and he's not like he's ancient where he's falling apart. He's going to be involved for the rest of the year. I don't see him just magically disappearing and not using him at all. Where, like we saw last year with Ingram, and I get what you're saying with all these guys, they fell off at the end, but they were already fading. Where Gordon isn't fading. Gordon was a 1,000-yard rusher last year and right about 1,000 yards, and he's just not, he's not at that point where he's junk at this point, and I don't think that he's going to disappear, where I think Carter has a better path where he can start to be more involved, and if they're a little bit, get to be a little bit more competitive, you're going to see better numbers out of him going down the stretch.
Yeah, and then you have Gainwell, who's hot and cold.
He's only getting passing work, and it's fading at this, even that at this
point. Yeah, so then as far as wide, and then we'll jump into wide receivers because we touched on Freiermuth and there's no other tight ends. As far as wide receivers, we don't have to talk about Chase. We don't really have to talk about Waddle. So realistically, it comes down to Devontae Smith, Rondale Moore, Kadarius Toney,
Bateman,
and Amon-Ra. They're all interesting. I'm starting Smith in a couple leagues and I'm happy with it. He had a rough week this week, but I'm relatively happy with what I've gotten from Smith so far.
I think he's been about 50%. 3 weeks up, 3 weeks down.
Yeah, exactly. He's a rookie. Probably a year too early on him, but it's also the offense struggling. I like Smith.
Rondale Moore sucks right now.
Yeah. Rondale Moore is an overrated piece in redraft. He's going to have weeks of zero, and then they're going to manufacture every touch they possibly can for him the next week, and you don't know what you're getting out of him.
Agreed.
And his skill set just isn't going to translate to week-to-week production.
So really what we're saying here is the guys that we want to be targeting and looking at, Javonte Williams, Carter, probably Bateman.
Nah. No. Because, again, Sammy Watkins is going to come back.
He's someone to pay attention to the stash if we're looking at bye weeks.
Smith is out of the conversation probably now.
Smith is probably owned too much, but if he's there, he's definitely worth consideration. And then I'm not touching quarterbacks as far as redraft goes.
Yep. That's pretty much
it. We disagree anywhere there?
No. The only real play that you might get with quarterbacks is in a super flex redraft league. I know there's a few that are like that. So you may get some of that mixed in there. If Trey Lance, for whatever reason, really takes up the mantle, I'm still of the mind to kind of reserve the last bench spot for him just because it's a trade piece. If he really ends up taking off in the second half of the year, now you have...
In a 1 or 2 QB league.
He's staying in a 2.
Either or, to be honest.
In a 1 QB league, they're not even worth rostering.
Oh, it's a rushing quarterback. So, again, it's one of those things where...
We're like 3 weeks or 4 weeks away from the trade deadline and most redraft leagues. I don't think he's going to be able to build up enough fantasy value to actually get you anything in return.
That's possible.
That's my issue with these rookie quarterbacks.
I'm looking at any of these guys.
I know I'm one of those people. I'm stuck in the dynasty mindset where I'm like, you know, I'm drafting Smith over, you know, certain players. I'm drafting, you know, I got caught in it a little bit this year where I'm looking at it. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to take Terry McLaurin over Mike Evans because he's 3 years younger. And next year,
it means nothing.
It means nothing, but it worked out pretty well so far. But, you know, but at the same time, I overvalued Cooper over Lamb, and I wish I didn't. So it's one of those things, you know. These rookie quarterbacks, I have zero interest in owning any of them.
In redraft, I don't want them.
In a 1 QB league,
no, I don't want them there.
I'd rather have Derek Carr. Trevor Lawrence is probably the only one I'd be willing to start. Like, you know, I'd rather have Tannehill than Mac Jones. His rushing upside, he's getting rushing touchdown this week. I don't trust these rookie quarterbacks. And, you know, if you're holding on to these guys for 7, 8, 9, 10 weeks hoping to trade him. If you're in a 10 or 12 team league, one quarterback, there's 15 quarterbacks available on the waiver wire. Right?
Yeah, one quarterback, yeah.
Two quarterback, yeah. Yeah, absolutely take the shot. You have, it's absolutely worth it, especially with Lance's rushing upside. But, you know, I don't even think Fields is... You can't start Fields in any leagues. You physically can't. It doesn't even matter the scoring structure.
They need to get that man an offensive line. That boy's running for his life.
It's a lot of... Here's the thing with those rookie quarterbacks. They're not sliding protections the right way. It's a lot on them, too. Mac is struggling, too. Like, this is the same offensive line that was okay, that was really good last year.
Yeah, but how many times have we watched that offensive line for the Patriots this year and just see an A-gap get blown up or a B-gap get blown up?
I think everybody's overhyping, to be honest, because he's only thrown the ball a handful of times a game. So I think that's a little overstated. That offensive line has been playing extremely well.
I think it's more on him because as a quarterback, you have to quarterback that line too. You have to, you're sliding protections. You're calling out the mic. You're making sure your running back is picking up the right player. Like, yeah, it looks like shit when Ramondre Stevenson's laying on the ground on his belly looking at the outside linebacker hitting Mac. But was he on that play his responsibility inside out and then we didn't slide the protection the right way, et cetera, et cetera? Like, there's a lot of nuances to the game that we don't know from watching it in fantasy aspect. And I'm reserving judgment to see if it's on the quarterback more than it is the offensive line or running backs. That's all I'm really, you know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to see it from, I'm an offensive lineman. So I know, like, dude, the offensive lineman's not blocking. Well, you know, the running back didn't pick up the middle linebacker that blitzed. It's like little things like that where I try to help out my big guys, the big dogs.
Gotta show a little love.
Gotta show some love to the big dogs. But Kyle, I get what you're saying. I agree for the most part.
But that's all I got for this week, boys. You got anything good you want to add here?
AJ Brown just caught a football. I thought he
retired. I didn't know he knew how to do that.
I thought he retired.
And he hasn't thrown up yet, that I know of.
He's been tackled twice. He hasn't gotten up slow yet.
That's true. That is very true.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you just jinxed the hell out of that. He's tearing his ACL into play.
You better fucking shut up. Hey, okay, hold on, wait a second. If that happens, you cut this part of the episode.
Absolutely not.
If not, I quit. I'm deleting the Twitter account.
No, that's all on you, buddy.
Nope.
You got to live with that judgment for the rest of your life.
You said it, not me.
Yeah, it's just your juju.
All right, that's all I got. I don't want to talk about this stuff anymore. I want to watch the rest of the game. I want to watch the rest of the Sox game. Three. That's three on this drive.
Oh, that knee looked a little weird.
He's celebrating. Knock it off.
All right, boys.
I'm over it.
That's all I got today. Thanks.
Peace.
See ya.
Peace, boys. And girls.